go back and reread them, just writing them down, thinking about them, stuff to put them out of my brain. So I encourage you to make some notes. And sometimes, as you are listening or thinking about a message, thoughts pop into your mind of truths that's not particularly said, but you think about it, and you need to write that down. God showed me this or this. So I encourage you to make some notes now and then. There's nothing else. I guess you can color in the zeros, but... But so let's think about circumstances and making some thoughts about that. Find God's victory in circumstances. We're going to have them. So he talks about this in this passage of Scripture, the things that were happening in his life. So the first thing, if you're writing in on your notes, trust God to use all circumstances. Trust God to use all circumstances. As we think about those, he talked about some things. In this case, it was happening in Paul's life, and as he got put in jail, in prison, for serving the Lord. But what I want to think about is this. Who is the ultimate person in charge of my life, in your life? Who is the one who allows things to come our way? Is it not God? Is he the one who actually, as you seek to follow him, controls those circumstances because he wants to use those circumstances to grow us up and to develop us? Now, if I think about it as a human person, I don't like some of my circumstances. And if I had a chance to choose different, I would probably choose some other things besides what I get. But I have to believe that God is using all the circumstances in my life to grow me up, to teach me to do the various things that I'm going to talk about as we go this morning. Now, are all circumstances negative? See, when we talk about God using circumstances, we think about problems, heartaches, difficulties. But do you not have in your life some things that you didn't have any control over that God has blessed you with? There are circumstances in your life that God has allowed you to be. For in my life, I didn't have anything to do with my parents. But those are good circumstances for me. They turned out to be a blessing. Sometimes he allows other things to come our way that are positive, that uplift our life, that encourage us. So I'm saying he wants to use not only the negative things or the difficult things, but he wants to use all things, all the circumstances. And I want to say, God, help me to be alert to what you want to do there. The scripture I listed on your note says, I know how to get along with humble means, and also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. He said, I know how to live with good stuff. Prosperity. Celebrate those things that allowed you to be where you are. When you think about prosperity, we like to think, well, I worked hard, I earned it, I deserved it. Who gave you the health in the first place? Who gave you the smartness, the intelligence, whatever you want to say, to do that? Who gave you the opportunity to even be employed at a certain place or whatever? All of that is God has allowed these positive circumstances to come. And so when I live in prosperity, I recognize that I'm living there because Almighty God has allowed me to have those things. And I want to celebrate those. But he also said, I've learned the secret of being filled and of going hungry, having abundance and suffering need. I like the abundance part, but the suffering need something that we don't like. But what I'm suggesting is, I say, God, I want to trust you that whatever comes my way, that you will use it for good, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I trust him to use those circumstances that are coming because he allows them to come my way and to help me grow. So I want to trust him in that. So the second thing that along with that is realize that circumstances are usually beyond my control. Realize that circumstances are usually beyond my control. Sometimes you may be able to do things, but how you feel, your health, you can take care of yourself, but do you ultimately control whether you get cancer or not? Do you ultimately control whether or not the heart's going to beat or not? You don't ultimately control those things. There are many things around us that I need to recognize that they are beyond my control. But are they beyond God's control? No. I need to remember that. And so many of the things that come my way come because not because I caused them or contributed to them, but they just happen. They come along the way. And I need to say, God, thank you that I believe you're in control, even though I don't understand them. And I believe that there are many of these are beyond my control. Is there value in recognizing that they're really not in my control in the first place? Does that make me look somewhere else other than me if I realize I can't control them anyway? I can't make them happen, or I can't make them not happen. I just realize that they're beyond my control, so that means I got to look to someone else along the way, which is God, who we want to look to. One thing about controlling my circumstances and not being able to handle them or knowing what's happened, some of you had heard this before, but want to share this about circumstances that come our way and sometimes are difficult and sometimes we don't understand. This was told by a Gerald Hoffenung some time ago. He said, "Dear sir, I'm writing in response to your request for additional information in block number 3 of the accident reporting form. I put poor planning as the cause of my accident. You asked for a full explanation, and I trust the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building when I completed my work. I found I had some bricks left over, which then weighed 240 pounds. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to load them in a barrel by using a pulley which was attached to the side of the building on the 6th floor. So securing the rope at the ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. Then I went down and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 240 pounds of bricks. You will note on the accident reporting form that my weight is 135 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Nevertheless, to say, I proceeded at a rapid rate up the side of the building. At the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel, which is now proceeding downward, at an equally impressive speed. That explains the fractured skull, minor abrasions, and the broken collarbone listed in Section 3, accident reporting form. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping till my fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley, which I mentioned in paragraph 2 of this correspondence. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold the rope. In spite of the excruciating pain I was now beginning to experience. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Now devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to my weight, 135 pounds. As you can imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles, broken tooth, and severe lacerations on my legs and lower body. Here my luck began to change slightly. The encounter with the barrel seemed to slow me enough to lessen the injuries when I fell onto the pile of bricks, and fortunately only 3 vertebrae were broken. I'm sorry to report, however, as I lay there on the pile of bricks in pain, unable to move and watching the empty barrel 6 stories above me, I again lost my composure and presence of mind and let go of the rope. And the empty barrel fell on me. You ever feel like that? It's not my control. I can't help it. But you're glad that God's in control. You can trust Him in that. That's one thing about that, beyond my control. Now, so if I am to have victory in those circumstances, and one of the third area, if you're writing in on your notes, is learn to be content in all circumstances. Learn to be content in all circumstances. The scripture passage said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." Is that a challenge or not? To learn to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Doesn't mean that I don't try to improve it if necessary or can, but I'm content in those circumstances. How am I going to be content when I don't like the circumstances? I have to learn to say, "God, you're in control, and I trust you in these circumstances." And I'll talk more about some ways that I think will help us. But to learn to be content in all circumstances. When you are discontent, what happens to your life? What do you start doing? Start griping, criticizing. Yeah, negative is a good word. Because you're not happy. And you realize that if you're discontent, nobody can make you contented. It has to come from within as we trust the living God to make us contented. So I want to learn to be content in all circumstances. So he talked about the fact, I think part of content is I've learned to be satisfied with little or much. I've learned to be happy with whatever God provides for me. So I want to learn God to help me to be learn to be content in all circumstances. Now notice I'm saying learn to. I don't think it happens all at once. Are you still learning these things? Maybe you get a little better though. Maybe you learn as you think about, "Lord, help me to think about these things." So I want to suggest some things that will help us to be content in all circumstances. The first one is, it's on the bottom of your notes, trust God to give me peace in each circumstance. Trust God to give me peace in each circumstance. The scripture says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you." Now notice what he said. May he continually grant you peace in every circumstance. And then what's the next phrase in that passage? The Lord be with you. So I can be content because God gave me peace because God is with me. Are you a child of God? Have you been born again of the Spirit? Do you know Christ? Can you say, "I'm a child of God, I've been saved"? If so, the last part of that verse says, "The Lord be with you." If you're a child of God, been born again of the Spirit, is God with you? Is the God who is with you the same God who was with Paul in all his circumstances? Is the God who is with you the same God who was with Moses when he led the children of Israel through all the stuff? Then I need to believe that. Now we could say today, "I believe that's true." But allowing it to become a reality in my own heart and spirit, I need to ask God to help me to believe and to receive the fact that the God who is with me is the same God who raised Jesus from the dead. It is the same God who was Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and all the other disciples. He is the same today as he was back then. Because I think we find ourselves thinking, "Well, I know he was back there. He was big and God and powerful. But he's still the same God. With all the power and all the ways that he did then for us today." And so I'm going to trust God to give me peace because he is with me. How long will he stay with you? How long will this God, the eternal God, if you're in faith, you're in Christ, stay with you? Does he bail out when you get into difficulties? Does he bail out when problems come and you don't feel good and circumstances go haywire? He is still there. He promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. And I need to come when I get in these circumstances and God, you could give me peace because the God who saved me, the God who is eternal God, is present right now in the midst of this circumstance to reveal to me and to work with me and to show me himself in the midst of that. And so when I realize he is really doing it and I can really, really, really trust him, there's a peace. I've said this before, you've heard the comment, but I think it's what sometimes individuals, it's a good way to say, when I go to bed at night, I say, Lord, you're going to be awake all night anyway. You worry about it. I'm going to sleep. Now, I realize that's not easy to do, but there's a peace when I say, God, I know you're in this circumstance, and I know that you're present in it, and I can trust you in it. The other passage that's on the bottom of your notes says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on you because what? He trusts in you. Because he trusts in you. May God help us to learn to do that. So in that circumstance, whatever it is, I ask God to help me have peace because he has promised I will be with you forever. And I will be with you in the midst of that circumstance. Now he didn't say I'll take that circumstance away. But he did say I'll be there with you. That's the good news. He is always, 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 always there, no matter what. Even if I don't think he's there. Even if I don't feel he's there. Even if it doesn't, my mind says he's not there. Does he stay anyway? He keeps his promise to always be with us. And so, if I'm going to be content in that circumstance, I'm saying I believe God is there and he will give me peace and I will trust him in the midst of that. On the other side of your notes, trust God to use my circumstances for good. Trust God to use my circumstances for good. And I'm convinced that he will use every circumstance that comes my way, whether positive or negative as far as I'm concerned, he will use every circumstance for good and for his glory. He don't just use the ones I think he ought to use. I believe he uses all those. Because he allows them to come my way as I try to serve him. Trust God to use all my circumstances. In verse 12 and 13 of this passage, he said, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else. He's saying, God took my circumstances, and God took this situation with Paul in particular. He said, it's turned out to what? To the progress of the good news of Christ, the gospel. Notice what else he said. His imprisonment for the cause of Christ. Do you realize that? The people around him knew why he was in jail. Why was he in prison? For the cause of Jesus. He was there because of his commitment to follow Christ. He said, they knew about that, and because they knew about that, it became well known through the whole Praetorian Guard. Now listen, who is that? Is the guard really his friends? These are Roman soldiers. These are guards that are taking care of him. These are under the Roman government. He said, they even know about me. That my circumstances turned out for the good that they know about me and, he said, to everyone else. So what I'm suggesting is this. If it turns out for the glory of Christ, it is good. It turns out for good. Because he said in this passage of Scripture, the progress, it turned out for the progress of the good news of Jesus. I want to go down, I didn't read these verses, but down to verse 18, 19 of that same passage in Philippians 1 says, what then, only, excuse me, that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Verse 20, he said, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. He's saying, God, if I live, it's great. If I die for you, it's great. If I suffer for you, it is great. Whether he said that whatever happens, Christ is proclaimed. When I handle those circumstances in an honor to Jesus, they're good. God wants to turn them into good. This verse, you know, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but let me read it again. And we know. That's one thing to read that. It's another thing. And I know. We know what? That God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Is that just a nice plaque that you hang on a wall? Or is that really true? That God, we know. See, I need to get this in my knowing place. That God causes all things to work together for good. So in the midst of my circumstances, I want to say, God, thank you that you're working this for good right now. Right now, in the midst of what's happening to me, even though I don't like it, maybe it's a negative, but God, you are in control. You're my Lord. I'm here to honor you, and I'm going to trust you to turn these circumstances and to use them for good and for your glory. Can he do that? Will he do that if you let him? He will. So in the midst of those circumstances, I say, God, thank you that you're working things out. You're doing things in my life. You're developing my walk with you. You're teaching me. You're growing me up. You're going to use it for good. It's going to turn out okay. God's going to use it for good. In this case, of course, Paul was not in a very good place. Probably was thinking about, I got a feeling that Paul's jail wasn't like our American jails. Somebody called it three squares and a cot. He probably may have been in a dungeon kind of situation. And he probably didn't get much to eat. He was not in a very comfortable place at all. But he's saying, God, you're working for good. And you're going to do that for me. For His glory and for His praise. Along with that, the next thing on your notes is, trust God to teach me through each circumstance. Trust God to teach me through each circumstance. Do you suppose that when God allows these things to come our way, and we, whatever they're good or bad, does He want us to learn something through them? Or does He just let them happen and so they happen? So I'm suggesting that in each circumstance, I need to say, God, make me aware of what you want me to learn and discover through this circumstance through which I'm going. The scripture says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. For we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, notice some things about this. Our outer person is decaying. Anybody around here aware of that? Most of us are finding out certain things happen. Some are younger ones don't because they haven't heard it yet. But a few years down the road, something doesn't work right. You got to do this or that. But notice what he says. Though our outer man, that circumstance is bad. We don't like it. But what is he saying? Even though our outer circumstances, our internal person is doing what? Being renewed. God's teaching us. He's refreshing us. Notice he said momentary light affliction. And I know there's times I don't think it's momentary and I don't think it's light. But one of the things that helped me as I think about all this is, you know, when I think about what I'm having to deal with, then I think about Jesus Christ dying on the cross and what he dealt with and what it cost him and how much pain he went through. I said, I don't have anything to worry about. I've never gone through what he's gone through. So I guess I can make it by his grace. But I think that God, that He said, I want to produce, God, the Scripture says He wants to produce in us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That is, beyond the circumstance, beyond what's happening to me, God's saying, I want to show you something that's greater than this, than the circumstance. I want to teach you something about Him and your relationship and His power and His work in your life so that you will grow up in Him. Do you ever learn anything through circumstances? Do you ever learn, God, as you look back sometimes, oh, God did this, God did. We don't always see it right away, do we? But I need to believe that in the midst of that, He's working for good, and later on I may learn something, or He teach me something, or show me something, or develop my life in some way. I'm told that if one of the reasons that trees stand the wind is they get wind to start with. No, a tree's never had any wind. When the wind comes, it's what? It's going to blow over. But if it had some to face those difficulties, it strengthens us. I believe He lets us have them sometimes because He's saying to us, I want you to trust me. I'm going to put you in a place where you got to trust me. And in learning to trust Him, we are strengthened and we grow and we learn to trust Him. Are you learning to trust God more and more? Do you trust God now more than you did back earlier? Do you trust God because you went through some things, some health issues, some problems, some financial issues, and you watched God, and in the midst of that, God has strengthened you, God's worked through it, God's brought answers to it, God's delivered you from it, and you discover, hey, He does do that. And you're a stronger person because you've come to see in that experience what it's like. And so that's what we're saying. God, the way I know that He helps me is when I let Him help me. I've seen Him do it. And then the next time when those things come, I'm a little better, hopefully. Oh, He did it last time. He's going to do it again. I trust Him. He's teaching me things about trusting Him and knowing Him. So, God, thank You for those circumstances that teach me. If I had a choice, I wouldn't choose them. But He knows. Does He know what you need to go through to become what He wants you to become? Yeah, He does. And He lets them happen. The last thing that I want to think about for a minute on your notes, and by the way, I shouldn't say for a minute. Trust God to enable me to respond to circumstances in a way that will help others. Now, that's a little long, so I'll let you look at it on the board, on the screen. Trust God to enable me to respond to a circumstance in a way that will help someone else. Is your reaction and your dealing with issues and responses going to help? Can that help someone else? I want you to notice back in this passage in Philippians, verse 14, which we looked at earlier, which I read earlier, having talked about his imprisonment and the whole guard, the Praetorian guard, and everyone else hearing. In verse 14 it says, and that most of the brethren, fellow believers, trusting in the Lord, why? Because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Because he trusted God to use this circumstance of being in jail, and he was able to praise the Lord in it and to write these letters, which he got, by the way. Some of these are written in the scripture, written in jail. He said, what happened? He said, because of my imprisonment, others have courage to speak the word of God without fear. Do you ever see God at work, and because you watch someone else deal with those circumstances in a positive way, it encourages you as well? I think I've seen that happen. And I think I'm seeing that happen even today. And I'm going to pick on one and hope she won't shoot me later. But Rachel, watching you go through what you go through encourages my soul. How God can help you keep on praising Jesus in what's happening. I see you go through circumstances. Doesn't that encourage you to watch individuals like that? There are others in this church family who go through all kinds of stuff. But they stay faithful. They keep loving Jesus. My brother in Kentucky has had, because of Agent Orange, lost a lung, had lung cancer. His wife has had, fallen 2 or 3 times, broken a hip, whatever. Every time I talk to him, he says, God's been good to me. And that encourages me. Because I hear another brother, another believer, talk about how good God is when I might be complaining. But he's praising God. When he can't hardly get out anymore, he can't go split his wood anymore, he can't mow his grass anymore. But almost every time we talk, he talks about how good God is. Folks, we want to learn to handle our circumstances by the grace of God. By His Spirit, so we yield unto Him and trust Him. God will help us do the same, that if somebody else watches us, they're encouraged to keep on serving Jesus. They're encouraged to be faithful. Because how God has helped us to handle those circumstances. We don't handle them on our own. You'll never handle them like I'm talking about on your own. You can't do it. It takes the grace of God and the power of God's Spirit. But He's available to every one of us in every circumstance as we bring it to Him and pray through it and give it to Him and yield it to Him. And sometimes we give it to Him more than once. Yeah, you've done that. I give it to you, Lord, but then you walk away and then you drag it with you. And finally you learn to say, okay, God is yours. There's something about that when I finally give it up. Say, okay, God is yours. He may tell me things to do and I'll participate in that. Another one in the Scripture that encourages me in the midst of circumstances is the time when Paul and Silas are beaten up, put in jail. In stocks. In the middle of the night. Instead of moaning, going, oh, terrible, how did they beat me up? I've been serving Jesus. And look how terrible it is. The Bible says they began to pray, praise God, and sing so loud that the prisoners heard them. And that circumstance in which they were, not because of their choice, but as they handled that with praise to God, the Bible says the prisoners heard it. Not only that, the earthquake came, you remember. But out of that circumstance, a jailer and his family come to believe in Jesus because they were in the midst of that circumstance. And they handled it with glory and praise to God in a way that God could use it. So folks, ask God to help us to take those circumstances. Maybe instead of griping about them, say, God, You let them happen. Now what can I do? How can this be used for your glory? What do You want to do in my life? I'm going to trust You to work in it. Because they're going to happen whether I want them to or not. So I have a choice about how am I going to handle it. By the grace of God, by faith in Him, by believing He's going to teach me, by believing He's working this for good, or am I going to moan and groan? I got a choice. Don't we? And we come back and say, God, You said that You'll do everything. You'll work everything for good. I trust You to be doing that right now in these circumstances that I'm dealing with. And I'm looking up to You to turn them into glory. Looking up to You to work them out. I'm looking up to You to give me victory in the midst of those. And sometimes that victory comes in the middle of those circumstances. Not because they go away, but because God's given you such a peace and a joy that He's in charge and you're trusting Him, that there's peace inside, even though the circumstances may still be around. Can He do that? Does He want to do that? Will we let Him do that? That's the question. As I said, the only way this can happen is that if you don't know Jesus, this can't happen. You cannot have these things in your own human nature. They are impossible. But if you have Jesus and you commit your life to Christ as Savior and Lord, He will be there for you in all the circumstances. As He said, I want you to know, brethren, my circumstances turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. God help me to do the same. Let's bow together. And as we think together today, Would you pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior and Lord if you've never taken that step? You recognize that you need Him to help you deal with whatever's coming in your life, and you're asking Him to save you. Secondly, there's probably some of us who are here today, you're dealing with something, some circumstance that you need to bring to Jesus today and ask Him to help you give this to Him and help you handle it with the peace that God gives, with the contentment that God gives. Because, Lord, I'm going to give it to You. I'll cooperate with what He wants me to do, but I'm going to give it to You. So in a moment, as we come to invitation time, if you'd just like for us, Pastor Ron and I, to pray with you about a thing, a circumstance, we'll pray with you. Because we're going to trust God to give you victory. Trust God to help you deal with it. You just pray with it where you are, that's fine. Because He's here in all the power He's always had, in the same person He's always been. Dear Lord, thank You for every person in this room and for what You're saying to each of us individually and together. Thank You, Lord, that You are here and You understand and You care about every problem, every issue, every circumstance, whether it's good or bad. You're there to honor Your own name in the midst of it. Lord, thank You for Your people who love You and are faithful to You. Now, may Your will be done. Lord, in this moment, we're giving it to You as best we know how. We're asking You to have victory. The victory is Yours to help us to claim it, to yield our lives to You in the process. And to learn to put these things into practice in our own life, Lord, in the midst of those circumstances. Thank You again for what You're doing right now by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.